I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you want to do God's good will? Simple question. You want to do God's good will? But also want to silence the ignorant talk of foolish people? Well, good news, because now you can, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people by doing good. So us do-gooders best be doing good, right? A few weeks ago, when we talked about flexing our faith, we saw how Paul had said, I'm looking for what may be credited to your account, your spiritual account. I'm looking for what may be credited to your account according to God's glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Well, before that, Christ Jesus challenged his followers when he said, if you love those who love you, what credit? What credit is that to you? Not going in your account. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good, you do-gooders, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? But you want credit? You want to credit that account that God promises to repay handsomely? Love your enemies, which is what it means to do good. And he says, this is Jesus talking, and your reward, he's like, trust me, and your reward will be great, mostly because you'll be just like Jesus. For he is kind to the unthankful ones, and even to the evil ones. Therefore, be merciful. You want to credit that account? Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. That's the key to figuring out how to do it right there, and that's what we'll be talking about. But let's start with this. This is not a suggestion. This is a Last Supper command that Christ orders. One of the few times Christ orders every follower to follow, saying, my commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. And God shows his love for us. So God shows it. He shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And look at this next line. For while we were enemies, you know, the evil ones, we were reconciled to God. Reconciled just means like reunited, reconnected, restored in relationship by the death of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And as you know, he even died for the right to forgive those mocking him as he died, including the guy hanging next to him who was mocking him. And yet all he demands of his followers is that we die to self-centered, self-serving selfishness and live to sacrifice love, to reconcile our ignorant enemies to our Father. And you know why? Because he's kind to the unthankful ones and even to the evil ones. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, pray this way, as Jesus taught the 12 on the day he deliberately chose a Judas as an apprentice, saying, our Father in heaven, your will be done by the doers on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us in heaven our debts to you, as we forgive our debtors on earth. And do not lead us into temptation. Yeah, the temptation to trespass against them. But deliver us from the evil one. who trespassed against us. For as Jesus then immediately adds, if you forgive men on earth their trespasses, you know, against you, well, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But you notice how debts becomes, which debts, by the way, the things we owe, the things we should have done but we didn't do, becomes trespasses. And that's, you know, going where you shouldn't go, doing the things you shouldn't do. And that's because you got to have both. Our debtors most likely owe us remorse, repentance, maybe some restitution, having trespassed on our heart, stomped all over our pride. But Jesus says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses down here, neither will your, I don't think we take this seriously enough, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses up there. Not because he doesn't desire it, he died for the right to do it, but he can't. Because unforgiveness is a refusal to follow Christ. So his hands are tied because it's not optional. You can fail at it, you can fail all day long, but you can't not try. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, especially against you, me, okay? You who are spiritual, like rather than carnal, worldly, must restore. You who are spiritual, restore rather than resent. Restore such a one, even if it's an evil one, in a spirit of gentleness, all the while considering yourself, you know, how you'd like your trespasses handled. Lest you also be tempted, yeah, to trespass against those who trespass against us. Bear, notice that word, bear one another's burdens, their trespassing, debt-owing burdens. Bear them, and so fulfill, like the only law of Christ, the law, to be kind to the evil, to be merciful as your Father is merciful, and so to love others as I love you. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, you know, spiritual, when he is nothing more than carnal, he deceives himself. For each one of Jesus' followers, we're talking about Jesus' followers now, for each one shall bear his own load, yeah, of the burden of the trespasses of others. So do not be deceived, especially self-deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh, meaning he who sows to please the flesh, lash out, will of the flesh reap corruption, also translated death and destruction. But he who sows to please the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so let us, do-gooders who sow, not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, which may be a long time coming and may never happen, in due season it might take till the other side, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Because Jesus didn't lose heart. You see, from the start, this is very interesting because God made the world so he could use it for analogies. And from the very start, God set a seed-sowing, fruit-producing principle in place to serve throughout Scripture again and again as an analogy for true spirituality. Because in the beginning, God said, let there be trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. The seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And then a lot later, Jesus said, now you will know the deceivers. He's talking about deceivers. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit, right? It's a pretty simple yet very profound principle. If you plant a carrot seed in due season, you'll get a bunch of carrots. Sow corn and you'll reap ears for years. But he who has ears to hear knows the same goes for life. So if you want a life that is just filled with love, you best be planting a lot of love. If you want to be flowing in the freedom of debt-free forgiveness, you got to be sowing the seeds of forgiveness. And I'll tell you this, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. And, well, in due season, reap a harvest of goodness. James says, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Who is wise and understanding? Who gets this? Who gets what God is doing, what's going on among you? Well, that would be the merciful who bear one another's burdens. We're told God shows us his love, yeah? Well, James says, let him, the wise and understanding one, show by good conduct, you know, here on earth, the wisdom that is from heaven above, full of mercy and good fruits, sown in peace by those who make peace happen. That's a job. That takes effort. You try to make peace. That's hard. It's really hard. So if you have anything against anyone, that kind of covers it all, right? Anything against anyone down here, forgive him. Forgive him his trespasses, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive his earthly trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Because, spoiler alert, you haven't yet died to self to live for Christ, to reconcile your evil enemies to your Father. Therefore, if you have, from now on, we who sow in peace to please the Spirit, regard no one according to what pleases the flesh. No, we endeavor to love and restore those who trespass against us, or at least we try to do it. We try to want to do it, because if anyone is actually in Christ, he's a brand new spiritual creation. Old carnal things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then it goes on to explain. Now, all things, these all things new are of God in heaven. You want on earth as it is in heaven? Well, these all things new are of God in heaven, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, the example that Jesus gave. And that brings us to God, because he was the image of God and has now given us the ministry of reconciliation here on earth. That is, that God was in Christ, you know, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And has, you know, now commanded us and committed to us the word of reconciliation. You can boil it all down to this one statement. You know what the word of reconciliation was through Jesus? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Now then, we who plant seeds of peace are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading for reconciliation with the world through us. And so what's that mean? I'll tell you, it means this. It means we who sow in peace implore you who trespass against us and are freely forgiven by us and in due season restored to us as far as it depends on us, on Christ's behalf, in the same way, be reconciled to God, because forgiveness is our most powerful, forceful, God-glorifying witness. That's your number one witness, is that you forgive like Jesus, and a person is so floored by it, they're drawn to it. And then they realize it's a picture of what God wants to do with them. You're the picture. You see, from the beginning, it was God's plan and purpose to use your love and your mercy to represent His. That's a big responsibility. So even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Can't you see it? You're blessed because it is better, if it is God's will, of course, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sin, for the right to forgive sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Be an actual do-gooder so that those who oppose you may be ashamed eventually in due season, because then they end up with nothing bad to say about us ambassadors. I have a story I've never told you. When I became senior pastor back in 1997, there is sermon number one right there. Goodness. Yikes. I had a few very vocal detractors who absolutely despised my speaking and leadership style, and they spread a prophetic word that I had two evil spirits. I had a Jezebel spirit, which would deceive the church into false worship, and that's not all, a prodigal spirit, which would lead the church into a pigsty of shame. And they spread that word through the church, and everybody said, "What a load of hogwash!" I wish. Actually, we lost about 600 people. And it was fairly devastating. Years later, this is such a great story. Years later, Pastor Dave Browning of Christ the King, which began about that, right at that same time, he used to introduce me this way, and he loved to tease me, saying that he credited the successful launch of Christ the King to Bruce's incredible unpopularity. But you know, how could I rebut or argue those claims, those prophetic words? You know, no, I'm not. You have a lying spirit. I knew they did, but... So I took the only appropriate stand I could, and it was very difficult. Just politely, repeatedly saying, "Time will tell. Time will tell." And it did. And each one, there was about three, each one of them eventually, in due season, like years later, admitted their mistake and their regret and confessed their trespasses against me and offered sincere apologies. And we reconciled completely. In fact, one woman who I adore to this day confessed it loudly in public. When she saw me at the grocery store, it was like she wanted the whole world to know how sorry she was. And I thanked her, of course, and forgave her. And months later, she did the same thing when we bumped into each other again. And I couldn't stop her. And then months after that, she launches into it a third time in public when we happen to see each other. It's like I hadn't seen her for years, and then just boom, boom, boom. And the third time she launches into this, I stopped her. I put my hands on her shoulders. I looked her in the eyes and I said, "Listen, I forgive you. I hold nothing against you. We are friends now. So don't ever bring this up again." And she hasn't. And I've seen her in public. But I'll tell you, it is so hard to wait for that due season to finally come, knowing it might not ever come on this side of the veil, because it has a lot to do with, you know, human will, free will. So hard to wait. But it's so, so satisfying to see what you sow begin to grow in those ignorant so-and-sos. So set them an example by doing what is good, like our crucified commander who washed the feet of his betrayer just before the cross and said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And so in a nutshell, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's it. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because it's not optional. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. But not to shut them up and not to shut them down, not to shove it in their face, but to free them up with mercy and forgiveness and grace. And in fact, to this you were called and commanded as a Christian, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And it's a pretty simple three-step example. Step number one, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. Step number two, when he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, step number three, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Three steps. That's forgiveness in a nutshell. Don't retaliate and don't make threats and do trust the judge. That's it. It isn't about downplaying, ignoring, or excusing a wrong. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's about facing and confronting the wrongdoer with compassion, love, and mercy. Because honest-to-goodness do-gooders don't minimize sin, they neutralize it, a very different thing. And to this you were called, because to hold a grudge is to judge the judge. And that's a scary position that you don't want to be in. Read that with me, please. To hold a grudge is to judge the judge. Ay, ay, ay. Because our struggle to forgive is actually a battle with self-deception and unbelief. And victory can only come if and when we fully put our faith in the only just judge. And the truth is, you don't hold a grudge. No, that grudge holds you. And you talk about a death grip. And it robs us of the peace that comes with forgiveness, whether receiving it or dispensing it. Because there are two huge barriers to true and lasting peace. The first one is guilt. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Guilt, which comes from the bad things that we do. Which, if you recall, I compared it to a warning light on a plane, right? And I said, the only fix for guilt is to receive forgiveness, right? Well, I want to add on to that. Number two, the second big barrier and block to peace. Number two, resentment. Resentment, which comes from the bad things done to us. And the only fix to resentment is to offer forgiveness. Which means the very best way we can ever pray is to sincerely say to the only just judge, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Peace. Peace. And you say, but how? You've never met my sister? Well, here's one little trick. You know, you do know this. You know how you rehearse that grudge over and over and over, and you go, and you rehearse it. But it turns out you get rid of it the same exact way. You must release a grudge over and over. Oh, God, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And then, okay, I give it back to you, God. I forgive again. He goes, yeah, well, you rehearsed it so long, you don't think you're going to have to release it at least that many times? You go, okay, but how do I forgive the intentional, inexcusable wounds of those who are dead to me? Sometimes literally. Simple. Turn it into worship. That's all. Change the way you see it. Do not see it as your generous, magnanimous gift to those jerks, or you'll never do it. No, see it for what it actually is. Your grateful duty to Jesus, your commander and savior. After all, when you were dead to him in your trespasses, God just made you alive forever together with him. When he forgave us all our trespasses. So you just got to bring the focus back to the actual battle. Am I grateful enough to him to forgive them? Do I want what's going on in heaven to go on earth? Because just as hurt people, truly forgiven people, forgive people. And so if you're ready to sow, then as far as it depends on you, because it might not work out because other free will is involved, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. By sowing without growing weary. I mean, just be realistic. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Okay? If he's thirsty, then give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because haters gotta hate, and do-gooders gotta do gooder. Let's pray. Father God, we trust you and worship you by growing in forgiving just as you. Holy Spirit, empower us to release the grudge and sow the seeds of mercy and peace. Lord Jesus, forgive us and lead us. Whenever we fail to forgive as you command us, we love you. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.